So last night we started off with identity. Who are we? Who are we? Then we shared on mission-minded youth. And when Gary asked me to share on this, I was like, well, these are mainly young youth. We were talking about, preparing for marriage. And it was like, I know I was 16, 18 at one point. And of course, we would be lying if we said we don't think about it at times. What's our future? Who are we going to marry? Things like that. But I wouldn't say it's something that we're just dwelled on from 16 to 18. Most times anyway. And so that's when we kind of changed it to preparing for the marriage. So in the marriage we're talking about that I want to speak on today is the marriage of God and the church, the bride and the church. And so, but I'm a mix in preparing for earthly marriage as well. So I remember, I'll start out 12 years ago, coming up in June 22nd is our anniversary. And I remember the morning before my wedding, okay? Let's go the night before. I was excited. I was nervous. I didn't know what the future would hold. I was excited to start my new journey with my wife. And I loved her so much that I decided, I have to be prepared. I have to make sure that I am dressed well for her. I got up early that morning. I made sure, got all the clothes on, had my mother check, make sure I was presentable, and all these things that I did to prepare myself to, in a sense, meet my bride. But it didn't just start there. It was months previous, preparing a home. There was so much that went into getting ready for this special day. And the day finally comes, and for her, I know she was thinking the same thing. Is she presentable enough to meet the groom? So today I want to shift our focus not so much on earthly marriage, but how are we in our own lives, how are we prepared to meet the bride? So the text that I would like to read out of is in Matthew 25, 1 through 10, and that is the 10 virgins when they were to meet the bridegroom. And I want to kind of go through that story. And y'all, as young people here, the devil, it seems he's more focused, more intense. Like the time is nearing, closer and closer. And he's trying so hard to get souls, and he loves to go after the young men and women. If I can get them young, they'll never make a difference for the kingdom of God. So, Matthew 25, Jesus tells a story, and we're going to read that here just in a second, but he tells a story, not from a groom's side, like mine, like I just shared, but from the bridesmaid side. There was 10 were invited, 10 had lamps, but as we know, the story goes, only 5 were actually truly ready. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 25, and we're going to read that. And I realize something here. I'm what's between y'all and lunch and a fun afternoon. So we're going to try to get through this y'all can maybe just have an enjoyable afternoon relaxing. But let's start there in verse 1 of chapter 25. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Was there any difference right there in that moment? It says they all did the same thing. It was all 10 of them. They all did the same thing. They all took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with the marriage went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not whether neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You know something? Being young like this, we look ahead in our life, and it seems like, you know, the average human life is 70 years, something like that. And we look ahead and we see we have all this time. And that may be so. Honestly, percentage-wise, it's probably more likely than not. But sometimes we get a little shaky, you could say, in our faith when we look at time as we have plenty of it. And I believe these foolish virgins here truly thought they were good. "Oh, we're, you know, he'll be here shortly. We don't need to prepare. We don't have to prepare anything out of the norm other than, hey, he's going to show up and we're going to go into the feast with him." A key thought here is you can have the look, the language, and even the lamp, but if you don't have the oil, you're not ready. And I believe there's a lot of people in today's world that are deceived in the sense of they feel truly like they have the oil, but when the bridegroom comes, they will not, and they'll fall into that foolish category. But digging into the parable just a little bit here, let's make sure that we don't, let's not be collectors of lamps. Let's be collectors of oil. Collecting lamps is about appearance. It's about how we look on the outside, our style, our church attendance, our reputation. But collecting oil is about what's going on inside, the presence of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, and true transformation. So applying this to today, the virgins here are believers or the church. The bridegroom, of course, is Jesus. The lamps, like I shared earlier, are the outward life, the testimony, the way people see us. The oil is that inner life, prayer, the Word of God, obedience, the Holy Spirit. The cry at midnight is his unexpected return or the call to account. And the shut door equals judgment. It's too late to prepare once he is returned. And I'm not trying to have a fire and brimstone message or topic here. It's not what I'm trying to do. But I do want you all to know the seriousness that the enemy is out here to make you or distract you and make so that the things that are important that you're not prepared for, when he attacks them, we're not prepared for things and we fail, we fall because we're not built on that foundation like it talks about building a foundation of a rock versus the sand. So we ask the question, how are we then supposed to even make it? Well, first I want to talk a little bit about some warning signs that I believe that you can check your life and see if you fall into one of the foolish virgins here. Matthew 23, verse 27. I'm going to read that real quick here. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto a white sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and all the uncleanliness." Number one warning sign, lamp without a flame. A lamp without a flame. Do you look spiritual on the outside? Do you attend church? But maybe you maybe even serve. You might even say the right things. But there is no deep relationship with Jesus. The question I would ask you is, am I more concerned with how I look or who I'm becoming? That's number one. That's a warning sign. Number two is procrastinating surrender. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. So many times God is pricking us, he's calling us, but we keep putting him off. We keep putting him off. That's a warning sign. If you keep putting God off in your life, that's a warning sign that maybe I need to check my oil. Ask yourself, what's one thing God told me to do that I keep delaying? Number three warning sign is spiritually asleep. Comfort over conviction. In Romans 13:11, it says, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. I remember times in my life where I got comfortable where I was spiritually. Got casual, maybe a little numb to spiritual things. Got distracted so easily. You know, maybe a little, honestly, maybe a little disinterested and disconnected from the Word of God and from who I was as a Christian. I fell asleep, just like them virgins, the five foolish virgins did. Question I would ask with that is, am I spiritually alert or slowly drifting? We have two more warning signs here. An unresponsive heart. An unresponsive heart. Proverbs 29:1 talks about the harden, you know, it says, he that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Is there something in my life that God, not being called somewhere, but actually maybe a sin in my life that God keeps nudging me, saying, you know, through people that keep mentioning, maybe a message you hear, but you keep maybe kind of shoving that down, keep kind of resisting, you know, you like it just a little bit too much. That's a warning sign. Am I soft to God's voice or hard in my heart? Ask yourself that. Last one here, a warning sign. Routine without renewal. You could say going through the motions. We shared a little bit about that earlier. Isaiah 29:13. These people draw near with their lips, but have removed their heart. You know, do you just do Christian things? That's easy to do. I think we all would agree with that. It's easy to show up to church and fill a bench. It's easy to show up and support the youth. But do I get to a point that I'm just going through the motions, and I'm just every day doing the same thing, but you lack true transformation? I would ask you the question, when was the last time God really changed something within me? So the five things that are warning signs is lamp without a flame, procrastinating surrender, spiritually asleep, an unresponsive heart, and a routine without renewal. Routine without renewal. So you could say, well then, how do we then make sure that our lamp is filled? How can we then make a decision that we are going to be the wise virgins and be prepared? Take all them steps that it takes to be ready when he comes. So I picked out, and there's many you could use this. How do I keep my oil filled? There's many different ways you could go about this, but I picked three that I thought were really, for young people, it's something you can do and apply in your life that truly can make a difference and truly can feel that oil within you. And so you can be prepared when that time comes. Number one is through prayer. We hear that a lot, right? Man, need to pray. And sometimes I think we even get a little casual to it. Well, you should pray about it. Do we really understand the power of prayer? Do you really know what you're doing and what you have, the ability that you have to speak with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, someone to walk right by you? Prayer shouldn't be a task. It should be a walk. First Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says pray without ceasing. What? And we could go into context of that verse, but just taking that verse by itself, how can you pray without ceasing? I mean, we got things to do, right? To me, prayer without ceasing is, I live a prayerful life. I am continually in communion with God. I'm continually speaking with Him. He's become my friend that I walk with daily. Prayer isn't a task. It's how we stay close to the bridegroom. It's where we hear His voice, receive strength, and stay spiritually awake. That is how. There are several other scriptures here I want to read about prayer. It says in Luke 21, we'll just turn to some of these. You don't have to, but there's a few verses I want to touch on. Luke 21, verse 36. It says, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accountable worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God." So clear right there that prayer is a key thing that you as a young person can apply to your life and truly make a difference in your life to be prepared for the bride. Philippians 4:6, it says, "In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great things, great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." I mean, we could go down through Scripture, and over and over and over it talks about prayer. That is a way that you as a young person can fill your oil and be prepared for the trials that come in life and make sure that you're truly prepared. I mean, who better than to speak directly to the bride, per se, that's coming? That's who you're praying to. That's who you connect with. Always remember the power of prayer and apply it, that it becomes, again, not a task, but something that you live with and you walk with. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Psalms 145:18, "The Lord is nigh to all them that call upon Him, and to all that call upon Him in truth." No, prayer is something that, you know, fills your spirit. It's just like oil fills a lamp. You know, daily, dependently. If you don't continue filling that lamp with oil, eventually the flame burns out. Again, it's not just about talking to God. It's to staying connected to the one who gives you light. Number two, how do I keep my oil filled? Number two, by staying in the Word. I'm going to turn to Psalms 119 and read there. Let's just start in verse 9, and we'll read maybe 9 through 16 there. And verse 9 is one of them that I really want to focus in on. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How can you as a young man and a young lady cleanse your way? The writer here is saying, in a sense, is it even possible? Then it goes on to tell us how. It says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. It is about being connected to him in scripture, reading. There's every day, let it become, again, a part of your life on a daily basis. I remember as a young person, every time that I would get away from studying the Word, something always replaced it, every time, no matter what. I would, and most times it was replaced by something that wasn't so good, most times. So I encourage you, if you're struggling with, and here, and I'll just say what it is, I mean, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? I think it's really talking about sexual sins here. You know, how is that even possible? If you struggle with any of that in your life, remember that there's one place to go to, and that's the Word. And if you stay in the Word, I promise you will find victory. It is something about that closeness with God, staying in prayer, studying His Word is where you truly find victory. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There it is again. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Very clear. God's word reveals how to live, how to love, and how to stay filled. You could say the Bible is your check oil light. It tells you when I'm running dry. It does that for me. When I dive into the word, when I've maybe slipped up and haven't done it like I should, most times, one of the first things I'll find is that God reveals to me an area in my life that may have caused me to stray. That's because I went back to His Word. And the third one is by obedience to God's will and commandments. That is, how do I fill my oil? Or how do I keep my oil filled? Through prayer, by staying in the Word, and by obedience to God's will and commandments. Remember, obedience isn't about rules. It's about love. If you truly love Him, you will follow Him. John 14:15 says that. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word. 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice. Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in all the ways which the Lord hath commanded you. Partial obedience is disobedience. Always remember that. Partial obedience is still disobedience. You can't run on half oil and expect to make the journey. And remember, too, that these foolish virgins, they when the time came, they were looking around trying to find somebody. You can't borrow someone else's oil when that time comes. You can't be on dad's shirt tail and he carry you across, the pastor's shirt tail, someone, a spiritual mentor. It has to be your decision as a young person that today I choose to follow God, today I choose to serve God with everything. You know, imagine if I, the day of my wedding, if I would have showed up to pick her up, still had my sweatpants on, my hair was a mess. I never had, leading up to that, I never even told her we have a place to live. And I showed up. Would have the bride been happy? She'd have been very disappointed. I think she would have been. And it's the same way. You know, preparing for this. We have to be prepared Let's fill our oil. I just want to say, people who are ready for the bridegroom's return. I found this that was pretty interesting. I just want to read it. These are people that are ready for the bridegroom's return are not hypocritical, but sincere. They don't just play church, they live it. Not fearful, but ready to witness. They are not ashamed of Jesus. Not anxious, but trusting. Their peace is in God's promise, not the world's chaos. Not greedy, but generous. They're not hoarding, they're helping. Not lazy, but diligent. They are not coasting through life. They are committed to God's work. And we heard that this morning about being committed to mission, mission-minded youth. So before we close here, I want to just make a little left turn and talk a little bit about, again, you are young, but about earthly partners. I'll just say this, that there's a thing out there that the enemy loves to get young people in. And that is that you will be able to overcome this if I only get married. If I only got married, I wouldn't have to deal with this. The truth of it is, though, that most times, them things, when you actually do finally find a partner, those things actually just become even more intense. The key to a healthy marriage, when y'all reach that point, because the fact is, probably majority, God doesn't always call everybody to marriage, but there's probably going to be a fairly decent amount of y'all in this room that find a partner one day. Remember this, if you're not ready to meet the bride, you might not be ready to find a bride. Same way over here. Make sure that your life is reflecting God and who He is before you go searching. Because sometimes you don't find what you like or what you want or what you need. Many young people long for a healthy marriage one day, and that's good. That's great. But please don't fall into the trap of thinking, if I were just married, I wouldn't struggle with this. Marriage doesn't heal spiritual emptiness. It reveals it. If your spiritual lamp is already flickering in singleness, marriage won't relight it. It'll only expose the cracks. The person you're becoming before marriage is the person you will bring into the marriage. And that is why the first relationship you need to prepare for is not future husband and wife. It is with Jesus the bridegroom. When you're full of oil, rooted in Him, you're not just preparing for heaven, you're preparing to love your future spouse from a place of strength and not need. I just wanted to touch that a little bit. And then I have five things here to do as you look for an earthly partner. We've already touched on the one, and that's pray. Pray, pray, pray. Just pray. Seek God first. Don't pray for a spouse just because I want a spouse. Pray for a spouse that will help me grow spiritually. Pray for a spouse that also loves the Lord. Of course, we touched on stay full of oil. Don't neglect your personal walk with Christ. A future relationship can't supply the oil you were always meant to get from Jesus. Another thing is don't rush. Don't rush. Timing is everything. Waiting on God to reveal that person to you. A lot of times will avoid a lot of unnecessary hurts in your life. Rushing ahead of God's timing most times leads to something that ends up not being so well. We ask, well, how do we know if it is who God chose us? I think you'll know. I think it'll be pretty clear. If your lamp is full, that's the key, if your lamp is full. Guard your standards and your heart. Don't compromise just to keep someone's attention. Don't compromise, especially y'all ladies on this side, don't compromise. Remember, godly love honors boundaries and grows in purity. Do not compromise. And the last one here is the one that I love the most. It says, wait for someone who's already running towards Jesus. I love that. It says, you know, don't slow down your spiritual, don't slow down spiritually just to date someone. What are we doing? That should be a warning sign right there. Look for someone who is already full of oil, someone that is already connected. That's what makes such a beautiful marriage, is when two come together that want to serve God, that pray together, that read the Word together, that choose to follow the Word, care about each other. That's what makes a beautiful marriage. So in closing here, a few questions. You know, if Jesus came tonight, would your lamp be burning? Would my lamp be burning? Do you have oil or just an appearance of faith? And are you filling yourself with prayer, scripture, and obedience, or just showing up? You know, the wise, they brought oil, extra oil. They expected a wait. The foolish, you know, they thought, I got time. You know, who cares? But guess what? The wise entered, the foolish did not, and the door was shut. And it was over. Never again. I don't want that for anyone here. I don't know if I'll get up and speak again, so I do want to say this. You are born, every one of y'all sitting in this room today, were born for such a time as this. There's times in the world that look a little bleak. Things are chaos going around. Maybe it's just because I'm older, it seems worse than it was. I remember grandma saying that and things like that, but I believe it truly is. But you were created for a time right now. If you choose to serve God, you choose to put your identity in Christ, to be mission-minded, to make sure your lamp is full, God can use you in ways that'll blow your mind, but you have to commit to Him fully. Surrender everything to Him. And I truly believe that there's people in this room that are going to make an absolute massive difference in the kingdom of God. But again, it starts by a choice that today I will continue to fill my lamp so that when the bridegroom comes, I'm prepared to meet him. What would you do differently today if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow? Remember that. That is all I have. Let's stand for a word of prayer.